and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. You guys just listened to our theme song by Michael J. O'Connor. It's really awesome. You should check out his other music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. This week, we're recording under unusual circumstances because we're, not totally locked down yet, but we are hunkered down at home to practice social distancing and flatten that curve. So this week, Shannon is not here, but we do have a returning guest and my lovely wife. Jenny Leisure Regolia is back on the show. Jenny, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
Also, Toby is here. Also, our dog Toby and Rocket are both here, so you may hear them.
They're here.
Yeah. Toby, chill, bud.
Because we can't be anywhere else.
Yes, we ought not be anywhere else, at very least. So this week, we're just going to talk about pandemics and diseases. I think this is an interesting conversation to have, and since there's not going to be any sort of formal winner-loser situation, we're just kind of doing this for the heck of it, to continue broadening our knowledge base about these things that have happened throughout history. Also, apologies in advance, we're recording on the old Snowball microphone as opposed to the fancier rig we have at the studio, so sound quality's not quite what it always is, but we're going to do our best to make it decent for you, so.
Wah,
wah. So yeah, so Jenny, hey.
Hi.
How do you feel about picking a number 1 through 8?
I think I can handle that much. 6?
Okay, number 6. Well, number 6 is, do you have a vague idea about vaccines? Vaccines.
Do I? It's going to be embarrassing already. I know that vaccines are what prevent disease. I don't know if it always involves injecting someone with the virus itself. I think that can be the case, but I could be wrong. And this is why I'm not a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
The end.
That was really good. That was a lot of it. Yeah, a vaccine is a biological preparation that provides active acquired immunity to a particular infectious disease. A vaccine typically contains an agent that resembles a disease-causing microorganism.
So like a flu shot.
Yeah, and is often made from weakened or killed forms of the microbe, its toxins, or one of its surface proteins. The agent stimulates the body's immune system to recognize the agent as a threat, destroy it, and to further recognize and destroy any of the microorganisms associated with that agent.
Yay.
So yeah, vaccines are a prophylactic to prevent or ameliorate the effect of a future infection by natural or wild pathogens. And yeah, they're great. So vaccines are good. Hopefully we'll have one for this particular outbreak, but hopefully we'll also be aware of their value to society as a whole going forward.
Also true.
Yeah, right? It's nutty.
I'm not going to bring that into
No, I mean, we don't have to go deep on that. Anybody listening already knows all about that trouble.
Most people have a firm stance on anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, either reality or non-reality.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you 5 points for that. Great job.
Yay, am I winning?
You're doing great. You're already 5 points ahead of me, and I don't know that I'm going to score any points. I guess you could give me points at some point.
I wasn't, or maybe told Rocket to prepare will. Questions.
That's, I know, you weren't. Okay, 1 through 7.
4.
Number 4. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about the HIV/AIDS pandemic?
Wow, that's broad.
Yeah, it's kind of broad.
Sure. It's a complicated subject as well. I believe late 70s would be when it started. HIV is the precursor to AIDS. There are lots of ways it can be transmitted. We now know that it can be transmitted, I think, via breast milk, blood, semen, and one other bodily fluid that's escaping me now, but it's not saliva. But anyway, it's no longer a pandemic. I think it's a little more controlled now, but still, I don't know. At one point, a lot of people were dying from it. Now it's not considered to be as fatal, which is great. We've made advances there, but it has taken a lot of time. There's been a lot of, you know, political issues at play that have made it take so long, I believe. So yeah, that's what I know in a nutshell.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. The. I mean, at this point, apparently, HIV/AIDS remains a pandemic globally. Oh. There are 37.9 million people infected with it worldwide, and approximately 57% are men. There were about 770,000 deaths from AIDS in 2018. But as you said, I mean, it's way more manageable than it's ever been. Lots of people live long lives with it. I mean, Magic Johnson being a huge celebrity case of someone who's was the bellwether case, perhaps, for this country anyway, and our kind of, as you alluded to, the issues we had, we still have with homosexuality and things in this country, and that it was a big scare thing in the 80s, and, you know, Reagan didn't do shit about it when he could have. Another Republican who waited too long to do something about something that was important. But yeah, the last thing I saw today, maybe, or yesterday, time really has no meaning now. But I saw something that said that they were testing maybe an HIV medication on the coronavirus because it seems to be effective in knocking it back, because maybe there's some sort of compositional similarity. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Great job on that. I'm going to give you 2 more points.
Thanks.
All right.
I'm going to feed the dog real quick.
Yeah, feed that dog.
He's being loud.
He is. He'll be loud no matter what we do. That's the fun part about having a dog and recording a podcast in your living room while the world outside you simultaneously burns and goes on as normal.
It's a global pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, just in the middle of a pandemic. You know how things go, guys. Okay, so you have 7 points so far. You're doing awesome.
Mm-hmm.
1 through 6?
5.
Number 5. It's time for, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Francaise Arbitraire.
Funny, that's... I was going to say cinq instead of five.
Cinq. It's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it right now is the name. So the question I pose to you is, things will be okay, right?
Wow, I don't like this question so far.
I don't think it's a good question either. I'm not sure I know how to answer it, but... I just want someone to reassure. So, listeners, if you want to reassure us, you can tweet at us or send Instagram or Facebook love to say it's going to be okay.
Well, so I've been listening to the quarantine dance party playlist on Spotify, and it's actually been very cathartic, but on the way home...
It's a good list, too.
I heard that Alanis Morissette song, One Hand in My Pocket? Is that the name of the song?
Oh. Yeah, I think so.
The lyrics were startlingly, like, appropriate right now. But anyway, she assured us that everything's going to be fine. So I'm going to go with that answer.
Okay. Yeah, everything's going to be fine. I didn't wear my sweatshirt today, but listeners, I have a sweatshirt that I got from threadless.com, which, you know, assuming you can get stuff shipped to you still, a great place to buy shirts. I think they're doing a sale right now. Not an official sponsor of the show, but they could be someday. But I have a sweatshirt where there is a meteor coming down through the sky, and there's a T-Rex in the foreground, and it just says, scrawled, things will be okay. So I like to wear that when things seem scary, and I'll probably wear it several times over the coming days. Great job on La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. I'm going to give you an arbitrary, 8 points. All right, that's 8 for the non-French speakers. Okay, let's see. We've got 1 through 5 left.
2.
Number 2. Do you have a vague idea about the Black Plague?
Yay! I was hoping you'd ask, cause it's the only thing I maybe know anything about. Or maybe I don't at all, actually.
Hey, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much of it I know, but...
No, I'm not gonna know which century it took place in, but 15th or 16th century, perhaps, somewhere... really long time ago.
It's a little before, but you're...
13?
Yeah. 1300s, so okay. 14th century, yeah.
Is there another plague in the 1500s or 1600s that I'm...
I don't know. I mean, probably. There were a lot of plagues There's always a lot of plagues. That's kind of the thing.
I'm actually not sure why it's called the Black Plague, but it was definitely a widespread pandemic throughout Europe that killed a lot of people. I just remember learning about them having to basically pile bodies in carts and haul them away. That's where the one children's song comes from.
Ring Around the Rosie.
Yes.
Yeah.
The smell of dead bodies was so intense at the time.
Yep. You put flowers in the pockets of the dead.
It had something to do with maybe rats initially. It did. Is where it originated. Yeah. And lack of sanitation. Go figure. I thought I knew more, but I knew that much.
Oh, yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, the Black Plague, also known as the Black Death, the Pestilence, the Great Bubonic Plague, or less commonly, the Great Mortality, was one of the most devastating pandemics in human history, resulting in the deaths of an estimated 75 to 200 million people in Eurasia.
Wow.
Peaking in Europe from 1347 until 1351. 200 million people would be two-thirds of the population of the United States. That'd be a shitload of people to die at once.
Which is a good case to be made for just staying inside right now.
Yeah, yeah, you know, let's just not spread things if we don't have to. Yeah, so the plague basically, yeah, came from, they believe it originated maybe along the Silk Road, carried by fleas that were living on rats that traveled on Genoese merchant ships. So what you would get is signs and symptoms. You would get this acral gangrene on your fingers that would turn your fingers black, hence the black plague thing. So your skin would actually just die on your body. But there aren't a lot of really super clear, there's a lot of documentation, but there's a lot of varied accounts of this because of when it happened. You know, you had a lot of recorded history, but not a lot of fact-checking and stuff. You get fever, vomiting of blood. Victims died 2 to 7 days after the infection. You'd get freckle-like spots or rashes. That's the ring around the rosy sort of thing, I think, is that they had those dots. Yeah, it was a huge, huge deal. Scary stuff. And somehow we survived that as humanity, anyway. So as we said before, things are going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think they washed their hands that much back then, and that's kind of why it happened.
But... Well, there was also, yeah, like the bodies and human waste and all sorts of things were all kind of in a melange in the streets. So. Yeah, you're just like dumping your trash out your window, and it just rots there. And then you've got, you know, all these other issues. So you got rats around just by virtue of that, among other things. So yeah, great. Great work on that. I'm gonna give you 3 points for the Black Plague.
All downhill from here, though.
I don't know. it might be good.
That was my big.
that was your wild card. okay, so we have 1 through 4.
One.
Number one. Do you have a vague idea about the 1918 influenza pandemic?
I don't think I do. In 1918, there was a big influenza pandemic. No, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's...
I don't remember hearing about this one, actually.
This has been, like, it's sort of been in memes over the last couple of months because people are talking about, hey, oh, it's the 20s again. The stock market's going to shit. Everything else. Rocket's going to chew on his toy for a little bit in the background, so you guys get a little soundtrack. Pineapple time. But yeah, The 1918 influenza pandemic lasted from January of 1918 until December of 1920. It's also known as the Spanish flu. It was an unusually deadly influenza pandemic. Rocket, you're really ruining the tone here, bud. So this involved the H1N1 influenza virus. The second time that virus appeared was the swine flu in 2009. The Spanish flu infected 500 million people around the world, and that was about 27% of the world's population at that time, and the death toll is estimated to be anywhere between 17 and 50 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. As possibly as high as 100 million. You know, what was weird about this is that most influenza outbreaks disproportionately killed the very young and the very old, but the Spanish flu resulted in a higher than expected mortality rate for young adults. So a lot of people, especially people serving in World War I, people who were able to travel by train and ship more frequently, you lost a lot of people because the infection spread very easily just by how quickly everybody was getting around places.
Hashtag stay the fuck home.
Yeah, hashtag stay the fuck home for real, because it's, you know, that's the thing. Like, this was literally a bad case of the flu, and it killed a shitload of people because they just kept going places. Now, granted, we didn't have some of the medical abilities that we have now, but still, very, very, very problematic. So that's pretty much the crux of it. But it had a huge impact on World War I, and, you know, it went everywhere in the world. But Spain was especially hard hit, which is why it was called the Spanish flu later, even though it affected a lot of places. Very, very heavily. So great job. I'm going to give you a point for that.
I don't deserve a point for that.
That's okay. This is all about, if any time other than any other time, that the points are not arbitrary on this show. The points are super arbitrary right now, so it's all good. Okay, you've got 1, 2, or 3 left.
3.
Number 3. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
You said there would be no.
Well, I didn't do it with plagues. I did it with something that's plague-related, but not nearly as offensive as that would have been.
That's fine.
Okay. This week, for Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have to decide between the novel or movie, I Am Legend, about a pandemic that leads to the zombification of humanity and there being only one human being left alive, to his knowledge. The book The Andromeda Strain by Michael Crichton, about a disease that comes from space down to Earth, or The Stand by Stephen King. So which one are you going to fuck, which one will you marry, and which one will you kill?
What is the synopsis of The Stand?
The Stand is a biological super virus gets released, maybe accidentally. It's sort of left vague, but it comes out, it immediately kills a shitload of people, but some people are just spared. And then they end up forming two camps in a proto-holy war to determine who will take control of the world. Boulder, Colorado is the good place in The Stand, and Las Vegas is the evil place, where acolytes of Randall Flagg, who is also kind of the devil, leads all the sinners, and all the saints end up in Boulder, and then they have a final stand, a big smashdown to see who's best. There was a miniseries about it with Gary Sinise and Molly Ringwald. Quite a few people were in it in the early 90s, mid 90s. So yeah, what do you think? Which one will you fuck? Which one will you marry? And which one will you kill?
They all sound awful.
if you mean awfully good, yes.
So it's biological versus what? Now I'm going to have to be reminded of this all over again. Oh, the one from space?
Okay, so you've got
that,
a...
That sounds sexy. We'll fuck that one.
You're gonna fuck the Andromeda Strain?
Sure.
Okay.
I think the last one sounded the most traumatic, so let's kill that one.
Kill the stand.
And then what am I left with? I don't even know what I'm marrying. But
I Am Legend. I Am Legend. So you're marrying a story about a scientist who's trying to cure the disease that turned a lot of people into zombies and killed a lot of people.
But there are still zombies?
Oh, yeah. He's very lonely, and in the movie, the saddest part is when his dog dies. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there really wasn't a good option here. Like,
all right.
All right. great work. I would, for the record, I think I would probably... Ooh, shoot. I think I would marry The Stand, just because it's so epic, and good does win in the end, so that's kind of nice, even though it requires all but, 40, 50 people to be living on Earth. I'd probably go ahead and fuck the Andromeda Strain, too. I remember enjoying that book quite a bit, and space stuff is fun. Space stuff is better than Earth stuff. And then, yeah, I Am Legend is great, but really, really sad in a lot of ways, so I'd lean away from that one myself.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to give you 5 points for that. Good job. You're acing this. You're doing really well. You're leading everyone. Okay. 1 or 2?
1.
Number 1. It's time for the Thunderdome. This week in the Thunderdome, you have to tell me who would win in a fight to the death. Dr. Mario, or the famous plague doctor, Nostradamus. If you want information on either of them, I can tell you. I can tell you more stuff.
I know a little bit about Nostradamus, but why don't you refresh me on both?
Okay, so Dr. Mario would be the main character, the Mario from Nintendo, but the main character from the Nintendo game, Dr. Mario.
Assuming.
So it's just Mario with a lab coat. So he's throwing pills at little cute little diseases and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Nostradamus is the most famous plague doctor. It's not the prognosticator that we all know about, but yeah. This particular plague doctor during the Black Death advised people on such intelligent things as removing infected corpses from the vicinity where they were, getting some fresh air, drinking clean water, and drinking a juice made with rose hips, and also recommending that people not bleed the victims of the plague, that bleeding them wasn't actually going to cure them. Nostradamus was a helpful plague doctor, one of those beaky dudes with the sticks, everything. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, that guy.
So you think he's winning?
For sure.
Yeah, because Dr. Mario's just going to throw little pills at him, right?
Yeah. Our guy sounds a little more reasonable. It sounds like he's thought this through a little more. He's probably also been doing, like, all the behind-the-scenes work to become, like, just a machine. So put him in the ring, and he's just going to...
Yeah, presumably. Sure. Yeah, I mean, presumably, he's got some info. He's gonna lead... I mean, he did. For someone who was around in the 1300s, he's in the annals of history by name.
Already working out in the 1300s before it was cool to work out. So
I like it. So Nostradamus is like beefy too.
Yeah, or at the very least, just like strong.
Yeah, and Dr. Mario like definitely is not exercising.
No,
he's still just regular Mario, but with a lab coat.
Right.
And whatever the reflective disc thing is that you put on your head when you're a doctor. For comedic purposes.
A little bit, like, paunchy from all the pills.
Oh, yeah, he could be. Well, he eats a lot of mushrooms. And a lot of... I mean, he has a deep psychedelic history that could be concerning for people, I think.
That's fair.
Oh, man. Okay. I buy it. I buy it. And I agree with you. I don't really think there's another way it goes. Like, Dr. Mario... Love him. Lovable character. Meaningful to all of us. And as the son of a plumber, as a plumber myself in life, I have a lot of admiration for someone whose knowledge of pipes transcends to their knowledge of arteries and esophaguses. I don't know how you pluralize that, but yeah, great. I'm gonna give you 3 points.
I'm glad we figured that out.
Yeah, it was really important. Very important. Okay, there's only one more left.
Okay.
How do you feel about that one?
I'm ready.
Just anything to get this over with at this point, right? Okay, do you have a vague idea about the San Francisco plague of 1900 to 1904?
Not a lot of specific details. I feel like it involved some sort of respiratory distress because people were coughing up blood. Is that a thing?
Maybe. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe not. Maybe that's just a weird book that I read. So no, I actually don't know much.
Oh, you thinking about that Roaring Twenties book? Or whatever?
No.
Oh, I was trying to think of a book in San Francisco that...
No.
Okay. Well, this was a small version of the bubonic plague that happened in San Francisco's Chinatown at the turn of the 20th century. It was the first plague epidemic in the continental United States. And the epidemic was recognized by medical authorities in March of 1900. Though its existence was denied for more than 2 years by California's then-governor Henry Gage. His denial was based on business reasons to protect the reputations of San Francisco and California and to prevent the loss of revenue due to quarantine.
Wow.
Yeah, nothing familiar about that. The failure to act quickly may have allowed the disease to establish itself among local animal populations. Because, you know, prairie dogs commonly have the bubonic plague.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a thing. This is the reason why there's still bubonic plague in the Western United States. Why there is at all.
In humans?
Well, I mean, not really in humans very much. I mean, the occasional person could get it if a prairie dog bites them. That's what you're supposed to, like, watch out, because they don't want you, like, messing with prairie dogs yourself. Much of urban San Francisco was destroyed in a fire from the 1906 earthquake. Including all of the Chinatown district, So they, when they rebuilt the thing, when they rebuilt everything, a second plague epidemic hit in May to August of 1907, but not in Chinatown. So yeah, so it was just nutty. 78 people died in 1908, much lower than the mortality rate of the 1900 to 1904, which was 119 deaths out of 121 cases. There you go. We have a long history of politicians denying the existence of things to prevent business from taking a hit. I think that's an interesting trend.
That's really crazy.
That we don't seem to learn from. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like the whole Mayer and Jaws thing where, hey, we just got to keep the beaches open because this is our busy time of year. We can't close the beach. Yes, there might be a man-eating shark, but that's silly. And that's kind of the reality we always live in, is someone in power thinks it's more important to make sure we make money than it is to do the stuff that we need to do to stop stuff that's bad from happening to us.
I've just decided that if all of your customers die, then no one really wins, so...
It's true.
Is it really worth holding out for?
Well, yeah, I mean, I at some point, it's just a question of what our priorities really are, because making money, like, literally, we have idioms like, you can't take it with you, right? Like, money isn't worth anything if you die, right? Like, who cares if you had money if you're dead?
Right.
I guess your next of kin, that's a whole other issue about inheritance and stuff. But the bottom line is, like, what are we doing most of this for? I think that's the big thing that I've been struck with since we've sort of seen more and more people work from home, practice social distancing, you know, try to do all these things. You know, even the current, you know, asterisk president is saying gatherings of five or more. Not safe. Gather with five people or less. So, you know, I can't help but wonder what could have been different had we maybe noted what was going on in January and said, hey, everybody just needs to pause. We need to stop traveling. We need to take a break for a few weeks. Like two weeks. I mean, even if you catch something early enough, you don't have to do a whole lot to stop it from blowing up.
Right.
And what do I know? For real, because I don't want to say that I'm an expert or even that I would do a better job, but it certainly seems like our priority has always been to make sure that the economy is good, and most of that economy seems to be pretty fake at this point. Like, how much... Like, a lot of people just don't have to work from where they work, which means there's a lot of real estate that doesn't actually have to be used, and a lot of commuting, and a lot of fuel that doesn't have to actually be consumed. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
It's interesting, for sure.
I've got a bonus question for you.
Okay.
Will we learn anything from this?
As a society, probably not, but hopefully on a personal level, a lot of people will take something away from this that is positive or life-altering in a positive way. I don't know. I think it's too early to know, but...
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I mean, I would like to think that that we'll learn something from it, that this will lead us to recognize that we need things like universal healthcare, that we need maybe even universal basic income to some extent, that we need to not, I don't know, encourage a hyper-over-leveraged economic system where every business is operating on loaned money so that everybody's always just trying to avoid paying debts or just paying enough debt. Because that's why things like the stock market crash, it's not because everybody's so scared that they're not spending money. We're all spending less money, I'm sure, than normal. And we can't spend as much now because bars and restaurants are effectively closed.
But it also means that people are losing jobs.
But yeah. People are losing jobs. They're losing all sorts of stuff. I mean, how many people's healthcare is kind of up in the air? It's a mess. And you would think that with all the resources we have, and also just all the memory you would think we have this shared understanding. Like, well, this thing happened in San Francisco in 1900, and the guy said, oh, it's not happening because I don't want to hurt business in San Francisco. And like that, and it only killed 120 people, but it still killed 120 people that it probably didn't have to, because it's the same sort of stuff. And it's not, and it has to do with this praising of the almighty dollar. And I question whether there's any real religion in this country outside of money. It's just some religions are catering to money more and more as they age and realize how they can make money off of their shared missions. But that might be too much of a hot take.
It's a little heavy for...
Yeah, it's probably a little heavy.
For a comedy game show podcast.
Well, hey.
But you know.
You know.
These are strange times.
Yeah. These times are difficult for any kind of, any sort of comedy, anything, so... But anyway, well, that was fun. Did you have a good time?
Sure.
Good.
I don't know if anybody listening did, but...
No, come on. Somebody, hey, if you had a good time, tweet at us. You gotta, you know, you'll enjoy this. This'll, if nothing else, this is a little mini episode that just makes you feel good that people are trying to keep things going while they've got the chance.
For sure.
You know. So yeah, you've got, well here, I'm gonna add up the score real quick.
Yay.
So, just one moment. You got 29 points.
29.
Wow. Great job. And no one else scored any points, so... you're doing a really good job. I have one dog on my lap now and one dog right behind me, so we're getting good and cozy.
So you're the real winner.
Yeah, I think. I mean, we all won in a way. That's the thing. You got 29 points. I got some dog attention. We're doing really good. Do you have anything that you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like people to know about?
No, just stay safe and stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll second that. Yeah, let's just all stay safe and stay healthy. Wash your hands, cover your mouth, all that jazz.
Stay home.
Try to stay home. Yes, the world's out there, but we're better off if in 2 months we don't have to deal with this than if everybody keeps going out and we have to deal with this in 5 months. This is going to be a longer disruption the more we treat it like it's not happening. Whether it would hurt all of us equally or not kind of doesn't matter, because it'll hurt some people a whole hell of a lot. And, you know, I don't want to know anybody among those ranks if I can avoid it. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. If you like this show, whether it's this episode or it's other more conventional episodes, we'd love if you would rate and review us on wherever you listen to podcasts, and also if you would go ahead and just spread the word, tell some people, tell them digitally, by phone, by text, don't get in their faces right now, and if you want to follow us on social media, we have Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast, we have Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod, and we also have a Facebook group called The A Vague Idea Podcast Online Group Thing, where we will be playing Pommu Pom de Terra Online, among other things, for however long we're all probably kind of mostly in social media for our socializing. That would be great. You can also check out, again, Michael J. O'Connor at .bandcamp.com. Mikey's music is fantastic. He is one of our most avid listeners to the show, and he's a damn good dude. So, you know, support creative indie musicians and their work. And otherwise, just take care of each other. I'm not going to say the other thing right now because it's a little too scary and ominous. And because I usually say, may God have mercy on your soul. But I think, like, right now, maybe a little too heavy. But
implied.
But also, may God have mercy on your souls. Bye-bye!
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.